Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. I'm your host, Melissa. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. You have children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to the 100th episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm so glad that you stopped by today. If you're new to the show, welcome. And hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room over here on the floor as we play with blocks and the painter's tape. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Alex Osensoy about raising a playful tot who has special needs. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show, subscribe to that show, and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show will help you prepare for summer. With lots of us with children out of preschool or school, it's a question of finding what to do with these children if we're not sending them off to camp or grandma's or somewhere else. Our interview is also with Rachel, who's the CEO of Grasshopper Kids, and she'll be sharing how to keep learning during the summer and keep that learning playful and fun. So I hope you'll stick around. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider pinning on Pinterest like Anjanette Barr did from Raising the Bars, or sharing with your friends. Thank you. I'll be right back after this break. You can listen to Raising Playful Tots while you're on the move by choosing Stitcher. Stitcher is a free app available for your smartphone. Downloading this app is really quick and easy. Enter TOTS, that's T-O-T-S, during registration to be entered to win in their monthly draw. Then you'll receive the latest episode right there waiting for you of Raising Playful Tots. Not just that, but you can discover hundreds of other popular new shows. You can find all of this by visiting stitcher.com/tots. That's stitcher.com/tots. Today I'm talking to Rachel Rudman, pediatric occupational therapist. She has a private practice where she works with children ages 2 to 14, where she helps both parents and teachers. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you.
You have had lots of experiences in your private practice that led you to do an amazing thing and make a product. Can you tell us how your idea became a product? What's your whole story? How did all this come about?
You know, it's quite interesting. I really started out, I work with kids, and most of the kids that I work with have some sort of developmental challenge. But the trend here in the U.S. was I was getting many phone calls from parents of kids who did not have any developmental issues, that really just wanted to give their kids a head start in school. And in response to that, I used to email people and give them ideas of different activities they could do at home, and I joked that I should write a book, and honestly, that joke turned into not a real big joke after all, and I ended up turning it into a product because I realized that moms today, you know, not only do they want the ideas, but it's very hard for us to run around and get everything we need all the time. That's why the Grasshopper kits come with everything to play the games included.
That's brilliant. So, Grasshopper Kits, how did you come across that name, Grasshopper Kits? I'm always curious about that.
I think really the grasshopper, not only was it just a cute, playful name, but also just the idea of hopping ahead and moving forward was really what led us to choose Grasshopper.
Brilliant. So, the product that you thought about and designed and made was the Grasshopper Kit. Can you describe what the Grasshopper Kit is for those of us that aren't sure of what it is yet?
Right. So it's actually, there's more than one Grasshopper Kit. There are four kits, and they each focus on a different skill. So there's the ABC Kit, the Following Directions Kit, the Getting Our Hands Ready Kit, and the Snip, Glue, and Grow Kit. So each kit has its skill focus, and every kit comes with a guidebook that tells you how to play all the games, and 10 games included in each kit. So the games are specifically not workbooks or pencil-based games. It's all hands-on, fun activities, really just, you know, to give kids a head start without making them feel like they have to do more paper, pencil, or even electronic work than they need to.
That's really brilliant. So most of the books, worksheets, and things that you have on the market at the moment are exactly that. They're worksheet, pencil, and paper-based. But for those active, wiggly, jiggly children that are our preschoolers, you've actually given them something that they can use, that energy that they already have.
100%. And honestly, I don't even feel like the children who can sit still should be doing the workbooks. I think that they're too young. And I think that we need to give kids games because that's what they do. They play.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And so the age group of your kits are aimed at preschoolers?
It's ages 3 to 5. And the reason why it's 3 to 5, I would have done 2, but there are some parts in the kit that are considered choking hazards, so we had to be 3 to 5.
Right, I see. So how would a modern family use this little box that you have, the kit? How would you integrate that Grasshopper Kit into a family?
Well, the nice thing about Grasshopper is it's really so flexible. I mean, you can use it once a day for 20 minutes, or you can take it out once a week or once a month, however you want. But the good thing is, like, the modern family is busy, and Grasshopper kits are kind of self-contained, and they have everything you need. So it really takes away the guesswork from parents, where they know that they've got everything they need in that kit. They can just open it up, and they have an instant, you know, entertainment or activity to do with their children to be engaged. So it's unique because it could be used however the family wants to use it.
That's really brilliant, because it is so hard sometimes when you have 10 minutes and you really want to do an activity. By the time you've looked it up somewhere and then gone to try and find all the pieces to get together, you can be really frustrated that now I can't do it. I haven't got enough time, and time is so precious. And so it's really clever how you've got everything together and you can just pick it up and move it wherever you need to in the house.
Yeah, I think that being a mom in a modern family of my own, I understand what other moms need. So those are sometimes the best creations that come out of a need, So it's definitely great and helpful in that way.
That's brilliant. Well, then you'll understand this, I'm sure, then, that modern families are tending to have children closer in age, you know, children that are 18 months or 2 years apart, and catering for both or three sometimes children under 5 at the same time at very different stages of development can be a challenge for all of us to know what to do with them without tearing our hair out. How does your Grasshopper Kit help with that type of situation?
Well, I didn't mention this when I described what the kits come with, but I did say it comes with a guidebook. So the nice thing about these guidebooks is that it tells you how to make each activity easier, how to make it more challenging, as well as how to use it for more than one child. So it really caters to that very well. And, you know, it's funny, my sister, who has 3 kids between the ages of 3 and 5, don't ask.
Oh, nice.
But she's able to take it out and use it for all 3 kids, and they can even be doing it in different ways. And truthfully, I don't know, in some of the families, like the 5-year-old might be doing it in the easier way, and the 3-year-old might be doing it in the more difficult way. So I specifically didn't write ages, you know, of what to do for what age, because the children's skills can be so variable.
Right. So are the activities are more open-ended then, so you can take them further as you want to take them as a child, and if as a parent you can see that they can do a little bit more, you can encourage them, or the other end, you can support them when things aren't working out so well or ease off a bit.
Exactly.
That's brilliant. So today I'm talking to Rachel Rudman, pediatric occupational therapist, about Grasshopper Kits and preschool readiness. You can find more about Grasshopper Kits by visiting them on Facebook. They have a page there, Grasshopper Preschool Prep Kits, or you can visit on Twitter, and that's Grasshopper Kits. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a little bit about the modern family, and 21st century children are often entertained for long periods and not necessarily engaged in active activities and participating. So in your opinion, how should parents set limits around educational programming for their preschoolers?
So, you know, it's interesting because in today's day, I'm not familiar with the stats overseas, but here in the U.S., the average three-year-old is watching over 30 hours of television a week, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. I mean, it's really astounding. Clearly, there need to be some limits that are set, but it's difficult to really recommend how to for parents because every family is so unique and has such different needs. So I'd rather say that every family, in my opinion, should kind of take a look in the mirror and make an assessment of how much time their child is spending in front of the television and try and just put in some more engagement activities in place of some of the television time that they're doing and set the limits that they feel they can.
That's brilliant. It's such a refreshing approach to actually see where you are as a parent and see where the child is and try and get what you want as a family together to work. It can be really tricky when you hear all from the television, from the researchers, from scientists, and they tell you all this information and you feel, I've got to put it all into practice. But if you haven't got a kind of a plan yourself and you don't adapt it to your family, it can be really tricky.
Yeah, sometimes I tell parents a lot when I give the workshops to just take a snapshot view and just take a step back and really try and look at yourself from the outside to make an honest assessment of what's going on in your family. And you and your partner can probably be the best detectives in this situation because you're with the children so much, and you're the best people to come up with a plan that's realistic for your own lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you encourage this more engagement and the less entertainment? Because it creeps, doesn't it? It creeps slowly into the house over time. And you can't have everything is engagement and less entertainment, because sometimes you just need, as a parent, I know I need to just relax and they need to just do their thing and vice versa. But if you continually do a lot of engagement, you will be wiped out by lunchtime if you keep going with that. So how do you work that out?
I mean, you also have to find out, like, in terms of what your children enjoy, figure out certain things that they enjoy that don't necessarily involve your active participation in their engagement. And you might want to try and make sure some of those occur throughout the day. And honestly, just, you don't have to be so careful about keeping your children actively engaged in terms of with the best activities all the time. You know, just having your children come with you to the store can be a learning experience and an engaging experience. Or having them come into the kitchen while you follow a recipe can be a learning experience. You're measuring, you're doing, they're engaged, they're touching, they're building their hand skills. So it doesn't always have to be so planned. So I think parents really just need to stop worrying about providing the children with so many activities that are engaging. And honestly, if you look on my website on grasshopperkits.com, you click on the activity icon, and I have about 50 activities to do at home with your children that don't involve going to the store and buying anything, but are just using regular household items that you can use to do activities at home. And just honestly, just even having your child help you clean up the house or walk around with you, you're going to be giving them that engagement without a formal project, and that's fine.
That's brilliant. It's nice to hear that being said by an occupational therapist too. Educators say this all the time, but it's nice to hear somebody else saying it, that you can be just as involved with the children by doing that. Because you get, as an occupational therapist, you're concerned, if I'm getting this right, you're concerned with the movement and how children move. Would that be right?
That's one area of our concern. But honestly, there's a lot that occupational therapists, like I specialize in sensory integration.
Yes.
And handwriting analysis and all of that. So there's a lot that occupational therapists can be concerned with, but sensory integration, like just getting a child to function throughout the day, it's not necessarily related to movement all the time, but fine motor skills and movement is definitely a part of it.
So with summer coming up, there's schools going to be out, and schools are beginning to be out in the States, I know for sure. And, you know, everywhere, eventually people will be out for a long period of time. Lots of people traditionally think at this time that it's a good time to ease off all of the activities that they're doing during the year. And there is a term, I think it's called the summer slide, that people talk about, that they're always worried about their children easing off. If you have a child that's starting preschool this year, maybe September or August or you know, this academic school year, can you think of maybe two things that you would recommend to do in preparation that they can do right now or they can start right now so that they kind of get a head start or can plan?
Right. So, interestingly, our children today are so used to pressing a button and having something happen for them that they've lost the ability to learn how to wait and to take turns and to follow instructions because they're so used to pressing letter A and then A starts dancing and things start happening for them. So one of the things that I would really encourage parents to do is literally play a game with your child, any game, Candyland, whatever it may be, a game that requires turn-taking and patience. And let them practice those skills of just waiting, because really a lot of preschool is listening to the teacher, following what they say, and waiting your turn. So that's one thing I would definitely, because when children just have a free-for-all for the summer and there's no structure, they have a very hard time starting off in a preschool environment where there's a lot of structure expected of them. So that's one activity for sure. And I feel better than any games. I mean, aside, of course, everyone should be using the grasshopper kits all summer long. But if putting that aside, I feel really just interacting with your children in a natural way and bringing them along to take care of regular things is going to give them a lot of the skills that they need for preschool. Because there's, like I said before, when I was describing, you know, what we could do for our kids, there's so much to be learned. Like, baking with your children, filling up a measuring cup, they get to put it to the number one, you know, mixing something 10 times, they could count how many times they're mixing. There's really so much to be learned from following a recipe and following directions, and when they get to school, that's going to be very helpful for them.
Today I've been talking to Rachel Rudman, pediatric occupational therapist and founder of Grasshopper Kits. You can find out more about the kits by visiting grasshopperkits.com. Thanks for sharing the information with us today, Rachel.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Geraldine Bywater McLaughlin from Empowered by Play, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Hello, this is Pawn Sabra of AmericanMuslimMom.com, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
I am Professor Kathy Hirsch-Pasek from Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I study language, literacy, and play, and why play is so important for young children. Also the author of Einstein Never Used Flashcards and A Mandate for Playful Learning in Preschool. And you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. I am excited that we are at our 100th show. Woo! Oh my goodness. Thank you for listening to the show. I know how much of a time squeeze that we have, all of us, but it's always good to know that I can come here and be amongst friends who want to talk about raising a playful tot. Facebook friends like Kristen Fries, Timothy Dickens, Teresa Madsen, All of those people have made comments about the show on our Facebook wall. It's always good to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to pop on over and leave a message. There's been lots of other comments too, but they're the ones that I have found right now to be able to share with you. So thank you all of you that do go over and do like the Facebook page there and leave your comments. It's a lonely business being a podcaster. You find the information, you share things with great people, and you put your stuff out there. And it's exciting to hear that you have the same reactions that we have about different things, because I'm just really passionate about early childhood play and want to share that information with as many people as possible. So it's really exciting to see that people get as excited as I do about it and pop on over and post something. I've been thinking about how I can offer something a little different or a little special for those of you that subscribe to Raising a Playful Tot. I have a few newsletters. The first one is at playactivities.com, and there I send out an open-ended play activity for the under fives. There's quite a few of them that are listed there. And that was a passion I first had in 2007. And people sign up still for that. You can still go over and get that and have some open-ended play activities to do with your under five child. The second newsletter that I have over here at Raising Playful Tots, it's one that you find out about my new products that I'm making, discounts to those products, new show updates. I share workshops, events, and recommendations for Raising a Playful Tot too. I also include a free special report about 10 ways to extend a child's play. Well, now, just in time for our 100th show, I've created a secret area just for newsletter subscribers, where I'll be sharing short audio questions and answers from our guests. It's going to be exclusive, so these are questions that you won't hear via the podcast and that I won't be sharing anywhere else, just in that secret area. And also, I'm thinking of doing some articles as well that will be going in there, perhaps some guest posts from people that want to share information that's just for the Raising Playful Tots subscribers. The password will be going out in the newsletter. So if you are subscribed to the Raising Playful Tots newsletter, you will get the password in there. It's going to be a protected area, special area just for you guys. So if you are not on the newsletter subscribe list, then nip on over to the blog, raisingplayfultots.com, and sign up there, and you will get the password once I have finished setting up the area. It's just starting out, and I'm trying to think of ways that it can be valuable and useful for you. So if you have any ideas of what you'd like to see in this special secret area, what you would love to know more about, then drop me a line at melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. And my first name is M-E-L-I-T-S-A. That's melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. It's just another way I would like to give back and thank you for letting me come into your inbox and share some activities and ideas with you. Summer, 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 summer. What do you do in the summer? I love the long amount of time that gives a chance for projects. I also love the down, unstructured days where you can just let the children float from what they fancy to the next thing. It's so good for them to experience boredom and find a passion in what they're doing. But summers can also get really busy with lots of activities planned and places to go. So it's well worth mapping out what you want to do and prepare what will work for your family. A popular and really worthwhile way is to write a bucket list. List out all the activities you'd like to do, and if you have a tot that's able to chat with you, then list what they would like to do as well. Then slim this list down to a reasonable number and variety, and then post the list in a visible place so you can check off these things on the list. So why is it important to have a bucket list, and a summer bucket list at that. Well, what we want for the children to do and what they want aren't always the same. So for me, my idea of a good summer, apart from lots and lots of other things, is to have a good old book fest with activities around a book and lots of lazy days outside. So my list would include summer reading clubs or readathons. But when I asked the boys what they were wanting to do, they had all these ideas about large-scale projects with boxes and only some reading. So it was good that we had this conversation, because we need to start collecting the boxes from now and, you know, grabbing stuff from the recycling bin before it gets recycled so that they can do some of these activities as well. And it helps me pare down the ideas that I had for summer reading, although we can do both. I was also able to see what we were really lacking, like we didn't have many day trips that were listed. And I really like the idea of day trips. And I know that if we don't plan for them, they're just not going to happen because stuff just comes up. And simplifying family activities. During the summer, because we're all at home, it's a really good chance to be able to go through certain things, clothes, books, toys, rooms, and just work on household activities that we need to get done, looking at the garden and just working together. These are some activities we've loved to do as a family. It really bonds us together to actually spend a morning, half the day, or even a day working on a project together that makes our home and our family feel a lot happier. A word of warning though, we can have too many activities on our summer bucket list. It's easy to try and push tons and tons of things in and have lots of activities down. And I would encourage you to find a time for unstructured time as well. That's a play activity that we should really consider doing during the summer holidays. A time to rediscover old toys. Sort through toys and weed through them. Throw away toys, give away toys. Days and afternoons where we can attempt a project and know that we don't have to put the whole thing away, but you can just leave it out and it can just kind of grow and take on a whole thing by itself. It might be a project that you'll do a little of it every day and it will last a week. Or maybe it's a long-term project that you're wanting to do over a month or longer. So now you're thinking, what can we have on the list? There are so many variations and such variety that you can have on the list, from open-ended activities to very specific activities. Think about all the things that you've had during the year that you've wanted to do, blogs that you've gone to, Pinterest ideas that you've noticed, things that you've seen in magazines, ideas. You know, have a really good think about the activities that you've wanted to do. Look at what your children are doing at the moment and what they enjoy. Perhaps it's something that you want to work on during the summer that you think, yeah, let's actually work on some of those types of things. Or maybe you want to give a complete break to any type of learning type activity and you want to experiment and try something really exciting and new. Some things that you need to think about when you're doing the list is the length of time that you assign to each activity. Maybe it's going to last a full day or longer, a half a day activity, a few hours, or these are activities that you could fit in at any time if you just had them planned. Like I said before, it's your list. So maybe you want to do 100 things to do this summer. To me, that is just overwhelming and makes it more of a job for me. But it'll depend on what you are used to and what you want to do. There's nothing saying that you need to get all 100 things done, for example, or if you have a list of 5 or 10 things, that when you've completed the 5 or 10 things, you can't go back and add things, or even you things that you wanted to do that you've decided I don't want to do that anymore. The whole thing about the summer bucket list is it's meant to be fun and exciting to do. It's not meant to be a chore. It's not meant to be something that you think, oh no, I haven't done six of the things and summer's almost over. You know, it's just meant to be a place for inspiration and ideas. One of the things that I found really helpful in organizing play activities is having lists of play activities and places to go to when you need to find a play activity. I think nothing's worse than wanting to do some play or children wanting to do some play and you just don't know what to do with them and you think, oh, this activity is really marvelous, but you realize you've got some of the parts are missing, or you realize, oh, that would have been perfect if we could have done it tomorrow because we had more time. So just spending that time now to consider what you might be able to do during the summer is really important, and it will make the difference of having an exciting summer, because you can make decisions about what you're going to do rather than just being directed by whatever happens to be happening at the time. So what are other people doing and getting their inspiration from? Where are they getting their inspiration from? I'll leave a link in the show notes to a list of summer bucket lists. So visit raisingplayfultots.com/100 to have a look. Because there's nothing like having a look at what other people are doing to give yourself some inspiration. I don't know, maybe you want to put your ideas down first and then go and have a look, or maybe you want to have a look first and let that really inspire you to go forward. I'll leave links to some Pinterest boards, some play blogger boards as well, so that you can really have a variety and see how diverse you can get. I think it's really exciting. I've been talking about bucket lists that were for the children primarily, but we shouldn't think that bucket list should just be for them. We should think about ourselves too. Bucket list for us. What do you want to experience this summer? Well, I know I want to simplify and weed down the toys. We've got my last child is going into full-time school, and we still have toys knocking about that really shouldn't be there. And so I really want to kind of hone down. We've got toys that have crept in that don't know how that happened, but they are there. And I really want to kind of work our way to a smaller amount of toys. I want to read that ever-growing pile of books. Oh, I'm a book addict, and so I keep buying these books, and I've got this big pile now. So I really want to get through these books and enjoy them. I'm partway through Simplicity Parenting after the interview that we did with Dot Mail. And I'm reading Mind in the Making in a book club with some other play educators. So taking time for the year ahead and planning is something that I'm also trying to do, so that I have a nice playful autumn too. Now, planning isn't big planning as in sitting down and writing out specifics, everything, but it's just having the time to think about what I want to do, how I want to do things, and let it kind of sit and brew and change and evolve over time. There are also a few play webinars that I'd like to listen to. There's one over at parentingsimply.com that I really like to take a look at, and she has a really brilliant webinar series that's coming up that features Amy Spidell, who came on the show, so that will be a really good one to look out for. I've just restarted running again, so I want to do a faster 10k than I'm doing at the moment. It takes a little time, and it's a lot of uphill to start with, and that's really slowing me down. So that's something I really want to work on during the summer, is actually work on running a little faster. I think I just jog. I wouldn't call myself a runner at the moment. So I want to actually be able to run rather than just jog. You know, it's nice to have dreams and goals to drive us, but not to have too many that weigh us down. So pop on over to Facebook and leave one thing for you or your child that you would love to be able to do on your bucket list. So let's go on over to facebook.com/raisingplayfultots and write down something that you would like to do this summer or that you think your child would like to do this summer. I would love to see them. I think it'd be great for us to see the different things that we've got on our minds about play. For those of you that are still on the fence about summer bucket lists, I'd love to know your feelings on it because it's something that I've gone back and forth on myself as well. I love unstructured play and I love the unstructured time that summer gives. And for me, summer bucket lists can get out of hand for myself, but I know it's a really good help for lots and lots of people. So what do you think of summer bucket lists? Is it something that you want to do? Have you got other plans? How do you feel your summers? I would love to hear your comments about that. At the beginning, I mentioned plenty of room on the floor here as we play with blocks and painter's tape. Jamie from handsonasyougrow.com, I believe she was the first one to do a post like this. She shared a really marvelous way of using blocks, good old wooden blocks, and painter's tape or masking tape. Now, you probably have a roll of masking tape knocking around somewhere that you were using for some painting job. So now here is the time to be able to use it, and most of us have blocks that are about to. I don't want to give too much away, but go over there and see what Jamie has done and her son. And I imagine that you can do a lot of variations with this activity. So it's handsonasyougrow.com and search for learning activity floor puzzles. I'll leave a link for that in the show notes. Just a quick note to tell you that I'll be speaking at Brit Mums Live, which is a blogging conference in a few weeks' time. I'm really excited because I'm going to be talking about Pinterest and how I use it. If you're going to be there, do let me know, as I would love to meet you. Well, I know this has been a bumper show, and I thank you for listening all the way to the end here on this 100th show. If you've managed to listen this far, I would love to hear that you did. Tweet me at PlayActivities on Twitter, or let me know on Facebook that you managed to get this far. Thank you for those people that have filled in the spring survey. You can still find that spring survey at raisingplayfultots.com/spring survey. I would really appreciate that. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 100. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!